There we go. I want to thank all of you who have been praying for us. Bryant mentioned my sister in prayer earlier. Thank you. If I haven't gotten back with you, I'm sorry. I've got like over 300 text messages that I haven't responded to yet. And so I really do appreciate that. It's been probably the last week and a half has been the most difficult part of my life, I would say, with my grandfather passing and the day after that funeral, I found out someone passed where I used to preach in Marshall County. And then I had to drop off one of my kids at school at college. And so it's been a difficult time. It's actually Trevor's last time being with us too. And so I'm just an emotional person. But please continue to pray for us. Heather's cancer spreading has been definitely a blow. And, Trevor actually had to come get me out of bed one day. I was just done. And so I'm appreciative of friends like that. And thank you so much for your prayers. It's very important to understand that whenever God puts us through tough times, God's not doing that to be hateful. And, you know, somebody told me that on Friday. And it's not like I didn't realize that already, but that's so important to really think about during difficult times. I've lived a very charmed life, and I've been very blessed. And Ron Sandifer always says it's during those moments when things are great that you need to be building up your reservoir of faith for whenever times are difficult. And so I'm sure that the next little bit is going to be difficult with him leaving. It'll be hard for I'm sure, but who knows what's in God's plans. But please keep us in your prayers. I don't want to get to a point to where I'm down. But it's so important to get to that point. And oftentimes, and I'm not saying this to make you feel sorry for me or anything, but oftentimes whenever you preach, it's lonely because there's not very many people that you feel like you can go and talk to about your problems, just because people are oftentimes like looking at you for advice and for strength and whatnot. And there have been times where people have said, you know, like I want to be there for you. And we end up talking about their problems, which maybe subconsciously I'm happy about because it's a distraction. But I'm not sure how I got off on all of that. Let's talk about something more positive. Gossip. Let's talk about gossip. There was a lady, a mother, who wrote to Ann Landers. You know who Ann Landers is? You got young people probably don't. But Ann Landers is an advice columnist, right? A mother wrote to her for advice on what to do because there was a rumor going around at her daughter's school that the daughter was pregnant. Ann Landers said, here's what you should do. Just let time prove that it's not true. So 6, 7, 8 months later, the daughter's not showing any signs of being pregnant. And so it seemed like it was good advice. But then the rumor turned to, oh, she must have had an adoption. And so we see that turned the problem into something worse. Gossip is a serious thing, and we often don't talk about it. I cannot remember the last time I heard a sermon on gossip, but that's something that is very important for us to discuss. Gossip may be, now I said may, there's no way to test this or to prove this, but gossip may be the most tolerated sin that we have in the church. We're not going to tolerate, or we're not going to support publicly somebody that is committing adultery, right? But do we sit in our pews before and after worship and gossip? These last few times I've preached, David Dodd's not here, but he said, Leo, go a little bit easier on us. We're always talking about heavy stuff. He said that about you too, that we're talking about heavy stuff lately. But listen, I'm just talking about things that I struggle with because I have found that it's hard sometimes when you preach to study the Bible because you're constantly studying to prepare for a class or something. So I need to study things that I struggle with. And by nature of what I do, both here and across the street at Tillman, it is so easy to gossip. I am privy to so much information in my role here and over at school. In the teacher's lounge, it's so easy to talk about students. Trevor, you shouldn't. I'm glad you don't know the things we said about you. But it's so easy to get caught up in gossip, just idle chatter, malicious intent. That's what gossip is. But gossip is a hard word to define. You know, Adam, you led a song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. We love to tell stories. Now, that song is talking about Tell Me the Story of Jesus, but we love to tell stories about other people as if we are living in their head. I saw something on Instagram today that said we need to be gentle toward each other. It had a continuum. And it said, we need to be gentle toward one another because we know this much of someone's life. And it had a little segment of that continuum that we know about. But sometimes we cast judgment on people based off the little bit that we know. Gossip. Gossip. What does that even mean? Gossip is a word to me that's hard to define. I really can't necessarily pin it down. I know what the Greek word is, though. We see that up here on the screen now. I'm not going to begin to try to pronounce that word, but think about that word for a second. What are the first two letters there? Now, I'm not an English teacher. Donna, I might need your help with this. But she's shaking her head no. But those first two letters there, P.S., what sound does that make? Isn't that kind of what gossip is like? A whisper? That PS there is associated with hushed communication. And that is what gossip is. Gossip, you know, that word there means a whisperer. And we can see throughout the Bible that there are different words that are used to describe it, like a slanderer or a busybody, a talebearer. But a whisperer is often what that's called. You know, gossip used to be portrayed as what happened in the backyard over the fence. Like you're kind of talking about something in the backyard. Or maybe I remember as a kid, whenever teachers would congregate together and, you know, be talking like that or something. It's some kind of hushed communication behind someone's back, perhaps. And we think about that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, by the way, uses that word there. In that context, if you look at about verse 14, Paul is talking about how he wants to come to see the Corinthians for a third time. And then in verse 20, he says, you know, like, I hope that we don't find things, like, I hope that I don't find things that I don't want to see with you, and I hope you don't find things with me that you don't want to see. And one of the things he mentioned is gossip. He mentions a whisperer there in verse 20. And so gossip is something that we shouldn't do, obviously. You know, we can look in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16, we see there that God is talking to Moses. And actually, if you pick back up at verse 2, God has given Moses some instructions there. And he tells Moses, when you go to the congregation, say these things. And then in verse 16, the point is made, you shall not be a talebearer as you go about the congregation. You shouldn't go around gossiping, basically, is what is being mentioned there. But then we also have it in the New Testament. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Let me give you a little bit of the context here. In 1 Peter chapter 4, if you look at verse 12, that's that familiar verse where Peter there is writing about, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that may come to you. And basically the point that he is making there is that as a Christian, you are going to suffer. That's just part of the agreement with being a Christian. There is going to be suffering. But he says you should not suffer as the result of some certain things. And look at those things that are mentioned there in verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Now think about that for a second. That catalog list of sins there, a murderer, a thief, those are bad sins. But right there mentioned among them is gossip. This is a serious thing. Gossip destroys friendships And if gossip destroys friendships, gossip could divide the church. Now, again, like I said, like I'm going to use the same disclaimer that Adam used last week. Adam writes all my sermons anyway. And so if you're not happy with what I'm talking about today, that's who you need to go see. But Adam said last week that like he wasn't preaching about opinions last week because that was something that he knew of that somebody was struggling with. And the same thing here. Like, I'm not trying to suggest that you're out there gossiping a lot. Like, I'm telling you that it's something that I struggle with in my life. And so, like, this is, you know, something that I, again, have to remember could have separation within the church if we're not careful. Now, as we keep going on here, and as we divide a little bit deeper into this, I want you to go back to that passage that Bryant read with us earlier. Go back to Proverbs chapter 26. We'll look at verses 20 through 22. Now, Bryant did an excellent job reading that for us. And I'm not going to read it again. Because Bryant read those verses in order. I asked him to read verses 20, 21, and 22. Bryant does a great job following instructions. But we're going to have 3 points today, and they're going to be in reverse order from those verses. I'm going to start at verse 22 and look back to verse 21, and then finally conclude, Lord willing, at verse 20, if we have time. Brother Russ Crosswhite said on Wednesday, if we have time to finish. Same thing here. I'm just going to go until there's 30 minutes. So if I stop in the middle of a sentence, it is what it is. I'll let you see my notes or something. But look back at Proverbs chapter 26, verses 22 through 20. That's weird to say like that. But you notice in verse 22 that the point is made there that gossip, the words of a talebearer, are like tasty trifles. Now, people tell me all the time, Leo, you have weird taste buds because you don't like cheese and you don't like chocolate. Like, I get made fun of all the time because of the things that I don't like to eat. But we all have things that we think are tasty. And so whenever we think of it in that vein, I should be able to understand a little bit better what is being said here. Gossip is like tasty trifles. Now, what does that mean? That means that gossip has some sort of allure to it. There's some sort of attraction to gossip. As with any sin, now please do not misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not trying to say that we should sin. But what I am saying, though, is that sin is very appealing. Otherwise, why would we do it? You remember James chapter 1, starting at verse 13 there, reading through verse 15, it says, when you are tempted, do not say that you are tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings about death. Now explain something to me for a second. If I understand from that passage there that sin leads to death, why would I do it? There must be some sort of lure or some sort of appeal to it. What are some of those reasons that we might be appealed to sin? First off, I want you to consider curiosity. We as people are just curious people. We have a fascination with what is going on in somebody else's life. You don't believe me? Go to the grocery store. Nick, you work at a grocery store. Have you ever wondered why grocery stores are laid out the way they're laid out? Do you think it's accidental that the tabloids are right there by the checkout counter, by the candy bars? Why are those candy bars right there? Because those people, whatever they're called, that design a store layout, they know that you're going to be in line waiting for 5 or 10 minutes, and you see that candy bar sitting there just staring at you, and you might go ahead and buy it, right? They don't put kale up there. They put things that are going to appeal to us. Why do you think those tabloids are there? For the same reason that those candy bars are there. If we were not curious people, the National Enquirer would not be going on its 95th year. Think about that for a second. The National Enquirer has been out since 1924. My grandfather that just passed was 84 years old. That's 10 years older than he would be if he were still alive. Magazines are going outdated, but even that magazine is still in circulation. We, as a society, are curious people. I remember whenever, like 4 or 5 years ago, whenever I used to actually go to the gym a lot, those days. But I remember how there would be a TV show that sometimes would just come up. It would be called The Gossip Table. And they sat around for 30 minutes and gossiped. It was literally The Gossip Table. It got ratings because people are curious about what is going on in someone's life. 60 Minutes, that TV show that hopefully none of you watch because it comes on at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. But 60 Minutes, I wasn't watching it because I was here probably. But a few years ago, they did a piece on tabloids. And basically, it was, why are tabloids so popular? And there were reporters that were going around talking to people that bought these tabloids. And one of the reporters went up to a man and asked him, "Do you believe the things that you read in these tabloids?" And that man said, "No, but I still care to read it." I mean, think about that. That describes curiosity. And curiosity is not a bad thing. Like, I love it whenever my students are curious, because a curious learner, like, makes me be a better teacher. But if I am using my curiosity to get and seek and to hold and disseminate information about somebody else, especially in a malicious way, that's a problem. I read weeks ago the best definition probably of gossip that I've ever heard. Now think about this for a second. That definition said something to the effect of that gossip is telling somebody about something who is neither a part of the problem or the solution. That's what gossip is. Now, why are we lured to it? For one, curiosity, but also idleness, boredom. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11, the point is being made there about the young widows. And verse 13, it says, to refuse the young widows. And why? Because it says they are slanderers. They are idle. They are going around with nothing to do. At school, we are constantly told, it is ingrained in our heads, you need to teach from bell to bell, meaning there does not need to be a single ounce of idle time within your class, because if the kids have any idle time, they're going to get into something bad. There doesn't, an idle mind is the devil's playground, right? Whenever people are bored, they're going to find something to do. And why not? Let's just gossip, right? It's boredom, maybe. A heart that is focused on doing good works has no time to gossip. I can look at plenty of other reasons why we are lured to gossip. It may be an egotistical thing. Knowledge is power. And if I know something about somebody, that makes me feel powerful. I know of a famous journalist that all of you know. If I were to mention this person's name, we all would know who this person is. But that person said the reason why they wanted to be a journalist was because they always wanted to be the first person to share some news. And that sometimes is why we gossip. I hold something valuable that I want to share. It may be bitterness that lures me to gossip. I want to seek revenge on somebody. Insecurity. I might be insecure about my life, and so misery loves company. And so I'm going to go and gossip about somebody else. Whatever the case is, these tasty trifles are not something that we should eat of, that verse 22 there in Proverbs 26 talks about. Proverbs 10, verse 18 makes the point to us that those who are slanderers are fools. So I don't care what the attraction is. The Bible tells me there in Proverbs 10, 18, that if I am a slanderer, I am being foolish. Now, we keep going. Look back at verse 21 there. Go back to Proverbs chapter 26 and look at verse 21. As I said, we're going backwards here. I want us now to consider the trouble with gossip. And the idea here, you notice, is this is talking about fire. And it mentions how you've got burning charcoal and you add, more charcoal. You have burning coals and you add charcoal to it. Or you have a fire and you add wood to it. And it mentions, look at this. I love this word kindle here. It says, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. There is all sorts of trouble that comes with gossip. And a contentious man is just igniting the fire even more. You know, gossip is kind of like liquid laundry detergent. Why do we even use liquid laundry detergent? We had to growing up because my sister Heather was allergic to, what do you call it otherwise? Dry detergent? Is that what it's called? All right, yeah. What? Powder. There you see, Dave, you're smart. And so, yes, we had to use liquid detergent, but like I'm saying that gossip is like that because have you ever spilled liquid detergent? It just keeps oozing and oozing out, and that's kind of how gossip is. And before you know it, you got a lot of problems on your hands, and I can't get that back in that container easily without there not being a trace there. There's all sorts of trouble that comes with gossip. One such thing is that it separates friends. It separates friends. Friendship, like sometimes it takes years to build friendship and it can be destroyed in a matter of seconds because of gossip. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. I think I might have verse 27 mentioned up there on the screen too, and that carries a more fuller idea. So let's actually read verse 27 as well. Proverbs chapter 16, I'm trying to keep most of these passages here in Proverbs, which helps because it talks about gossip a lot. Proverbs 16, picking up at verse 27. Now listen to this. It's almost like the Bible was ahead of its time. Like the Bible, like God knew what was going to be happening in the world in 2020. Listen to this and see if this sounds familiar. An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. Verse 28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Gossip can destroy friendships. Earlier, I had mentioned that sometimes whenever you preach, it's hard to like have people that you can like just come and talk to. Like, so preachers oftentimes end up relying on each other. And I read a story about how there were four preachers who were all together at a park having lunch. And they decided that they were going to tell each other their deepest and darkest secrets because who else can we tell? We can't tell the people at church. And so one of the preachers said that he had a terrible alcoholism addiction and he just can't stop. Another one had gambled away his family's life savings. Another one, the third one, was having an affair with one of the ladies in the church. The fourth guy stands up and starts walking away and he says, "My issue is that I'm a gossiper and I can't keep my mouth shut." Now think about that for a second. You think those other three are going to be friends with that preacher anymore, knowing that he gossips? And it's funny because he waited to go last to tell what his issue was. And that's kind of how it is. Like, we want to soak up all this information, and then like whenever we disperse of that, it can destroy a friendship because it betrays trust. Not only does it destroy friendships, though, but it also destroys the church. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verses 11 through 13. Now, the idea here, it's talking about a city. I understand that. But I think it's applicable to what we are talking about as well. Proverbs 11, verses 11 through 13. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, it says, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Now it talks about how by the upright, in verse 11 there, a city is exalted, but then it can be destroyed by the mouth of the wicked. I get that it's talking about a city there, but couldn't we use the church as an example there about how the church can be harmed by gossip? If it separates friendships, it can separate the church because the people are the church. Like, we have to be careful with the things that we say and value one another's, not only their privacy, but just their friendship. Now, also, gossip has, like, carries with it trouble because it can mess with someone's reputation. It can sully their reputation. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 41, verse 7. Look at Psalm 41, verse 7. This is David writing this, and he says something that's interesting here. I won't spend too much time on this because I'm running out of time. But there in Psalm 41, verse 7, it says, "All who hate me whisper together against me." And what do? "Against me, they devise my hurt." Whenever I gossip, I hurt someone, I mess with their reputation. And not only is their reputation on the line, but my reputation is on the line because now I'm branded as someone that can't hold something in. Also, whenever I gossip, there's trouble involved with that because I can become judgmental. And we need to understand just quickly, Matthew chapter 7, verse 2 says, "With the same judgment that we judge others, we will be judged." Now, going back to Proverbs chapter 26, look at verse 20, the last point here quickly. I want us to see here what the solution is to gossip. This has been somewhat negative so far, but there are some solutions to it. And if you notice there in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 of chapter 26, it says, "Where there is no wood, the fire goes out." If I want to stop the fire, I don't need wood. If I want to stop there being an issue with gossip, stop gossiping. And what I mean by that is it's twofold. Obviously, I don't need to spread gossip, but also I don't need to listen to it. Romans chapter 1, picking up at verse 28, remember there in that passage, it says that God gave them over to do things that were not fitting. In the way that we speak nowadays, they were doing, like, God gave them over to do things that was not becoming of Christianity. And it mentions a whole list of sins there in the next few verses. And the very last thing that is mentioned in verse 29 is a whisperer, a gossiper. And it says, to conclude all of that in verse 32, that those who practice such things as gossip are deserving of death, but not only them, but also those who approve of it. If I'm sitting there and just listening to gossip, I'm approving of it. Sometimes silence is complicity. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19 says, "To not associate with those who are talebearers." If I refuse to spread gossip, it will cease. If I refuse to listen to gossip, it'll cease. I've got a couple of passages that I'm not going to be able to get to up there, but if you're taking notes, please jot those down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, that just says, shun old and profane fables. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it's talking about how at the end times, there are going to be some perilous things going on. And verse 3 mentions there's going to be slanderers. And verse 5 says, "From such, turn away." Don't be a part of that. Now, in speaking of solutions, I've got some practical things up here, four things that I want you to consider just from a practical standpoint for a second. Just some quick hitters as we close our thoughts. First off, four things. First off, I need to make sure that I understand that just because something is true does not make it fair game to tell. The issue at hand is not the veracity of the comment. It's, is it harmful and is it confidential? Also, point number two up there, I need to consider that gossip I don't know how to say this, and I don't want to be disrespectful in saying this, but let me just put it this way. We don't need to spiritualize gossip. And I'm not trying to, this is, there's always a comment that's going to get me fired. And this just might be it in this sermon. We do not need to spiritualize gossip. And what I mean by that is this. Sometimes we go to somebody and say, hey, Brian, let me tell you something about Adam. And I'm telling you because I want you to pray for him. Now, I need to check my motive. Because if I am, like, sometimes, yes, a third party might need to know something to help that person. But I need to check my motive. Am I telling that just because I want to keep Brian in the loop on what's going on with him? Or am I telling them that because I really want to help that person out? Point number three, if we have to say, before I say something about somebody else, no, don't repeat this, it probably is gossip. The further to the south that you get, it seems like, you know, there's this philosophy that as long as I say, God bless them, I can say whatever I want to say. And whenever I was at Freed Hardeman, I heard that a lot. It's like the further the south you get, it seems like the more you hear that phrase. But where is that biblical? You know, like there's no verse that I can point to that vouches for that. And finally, let's just remember the golden rule. As you would have men do unto you, you do unto them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, like I have up there. With that, let me just quickly just say this. Most of us have been the subject of gossip, and we remember how that felt, and it didn't feel that great. And so we have to consider in the golden rule mindset that I don't need to do the same thing to someone else and try to like make them feel similar to the way that I felt whenever things were being said about me. There was a university professor who decided he wanted to test to see the velocity of gossip. What's the velocity of gossip? In other words, how quickly can gossip travel? So this professor decided to bring up six good students, and he told them, we have this, you would have been one of the six good students. He had, like he was telling them this, that in a month at one of the campus events, there was going to be the most famous celebrities in the world were going to make an appearance there. And he was like, you just cannot go and tell anybody about this to these six students. Well, guess what happened in the matter of like a few weeks? The press knew, the students' parents knew, 2,000 students at the school knew. And that professor said, that is how fast gossip can travel. And that wasn't even slanderous. Like, that was some silly, fictitious thing that was going around being said. Now, imagine how fast that spreads and how damaging it is whenever it's something that actually can mess with someone's reputation. That is what we are doing whenever we gossip. I understand that James minces no words whenever he talks about the tongue. Remember in James chapter 3, verse 6, he says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And in verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Are my words hurting or healing? That's the name of this sermon. Turn your Bibles, if you will, I've got a second, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I'm trying to encourage myself today not to gossip. And if I haven't said anything that maybe helps you, I'm going to let the Word of God take over at this point. Look at what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Oh, well, you know what, Leo? I don't cuss. I don't go around saying lewd things. Do you gossip, though? Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. See, every time I say something, it's being heard by someone else. And I have to consider the impact and the effect that that has on that person that's hearing that. Are you going to use your tongue as an instrument for righteousness? Are you going to yield your tongue to heal people instead of hurting them? I know I've gone over my time, so I'm just going to say, let's stand and sing the song of encouragement. If you're subject, please come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for